This is nothing new. What I do think, however, is that where liability against a company is directly attributed to the conduct of a small group of individuals, in that case, corporations may have better arguments to try to escape liability. Any sort of collective knowledge doctrine that's used for attributing the intent to the company is not going to be as well regarded. On the other hand, if senior officials are involved, know what's going on and turn a blind eye, that's where liability will still attach.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome. This is Michael Volkoff, and you're here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Today's episode is about the resumption of FCPA enforcement. Well, deja vu all over again. We've been through a period of no enforcement to a period now of renewed enforcement, but there are certain wrinkles to this new policy that DOJ recently announced. So let's sort of go through it, and then I'll give you some observations in terms of practically what I think this is going to mean. And the most important development, I think, is what kind of resources are going to be applied, and is the new administration going to be willing to, let's say, allocate sufficient resources to meet the demand? So DOJ announced the resumption of FCPA enforcement with a new set of enforcement guidance principles. This new guidance is an important statement concerning FCPA investigations and prosecutions. Now, I do think that the impact will be significant, but the precise scope of this renewed focus will depend on certain legal factors, resources, and the importance placed on foreign bribery cases. While there's been a reduction in the number of attorneys assigned to DOJ's FCPA unit, DOJ's current leadership in a prior action, and this is important and it was sort of below the radar, authorized U.S. attorneys' offices around the country in 94 separate districts to investigate and prosecute FCPA cases with less oversight, meaning that they didn't have to have somebody assigned from the FCPA unit to the case, meaning that U.S. attorneys' offices in this arena can run their own case. And that may counterbalance the reduction from the DOJ headquarters in terms of resources assigned to FCPA cases. So it's interesting to see how this plays out. And as always, we know the expression, the devil is in the details. Now, DOJ's guidelines for investigations and enforcement of the FCPA is an important document to review, dated June 9th. And let's go through some of the important portions of the guidance. First, the guidance memo is intended, one, to limit undue burdens on American companies that operate abroad, reflecting sort of the economic nationalism of the current administration, and two, target enforcement actions against conduct that, quote, directly undermines U.S. national interests. So how does that get defined? Well, DOJ directs prosecutors to focus on cases, one, that are against individuals. Notice individuals, not corporations, who have engaged in criminal misconduct while avoiding corporate prosecutions where they prosecutors attribute nonspecific malfeasance to corporate structures. And I think what they're trying to do here is to push back against attribution if you, let's say, had a lone actor, someone off the reservation that you couldn't just directly and easily attribute that conduct to the company. So that, I think, is going to be a big change unto itself. There's still going to be the focus on individual prosecutions, but you may see companies that have better arguments that they make to DOJ to avoid prosecution. Number two, they are to proceed as expeditiously as possible in their investigations. And obviously, DOJ is trying to cut down on this 4 to 5 year lengthy white collar investigation. And frankly, it's about time that somebody did do that, because those were really ridiculously long. 3, consider collateral consequences such as potential disruption to lawful business and impact on a company's employees throughout the investigation, not only at the resolution phase. And that's just to consider the impact this might have on an important national interest. Now, the initiation of new investigations and cases also means that there must be several factors to consider, but also it has to be authorized by the Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division. So at the same time the U.S. Attorney's offices can do their own cases, they still have to get approval to open the case from the AAG of the Criminal Division. Now, the guidance memo factors for prosecution talks about several factors, and this, I think, is where the rubber hits the road. The focus on cartels and transnational criminal organizations, TCOs, and this was expected, and the guidance memo underscored the importance of pursuing cases against cartels and TCOs to dismantle the financing mechanisms and shell companies used by these criminal networks. One primary consideration in deciding whether to pursue an FCPA case is whether the alleged misconduct is, 1, associated with the criminal operations of a cartel or TCO. In other words, what's the relationship between the cartel and the TCO and the state-owned enterprise or the foreign leaders or the foreign officials who are going to be supposedly bribed or were bribed? 2, utilizes money launderers or shell companies that engage in money laundering to benefit cartels or TCOs. 3, is linked to employees of state-owned entities or other foreign officials who receive bribes from cartels or TCOs, just like I said a second ago. This, and I do think that it's important as we look at our supply chains, as we look at our distributors, our distribution channels, that we look at the potential for indirect benefits that may go to a cartel or a TCO. And cartels have infiltrated legitimate businesses. We all know that. And that is an issue that has to be flagged and has to be investigated. And it's a new risk that really needs to be taken into account. On the one hand, people are saying this is going to reduce the work because of this focus. But in fact, I think there's going to be some new issues that are raised that are going to sort of balance off against those reductions. Another issue was safeguarding fair opportunities for U.S. companies. So the guidance memo now is key to promoting the competitiveness of U.S. companies by noting that bribery of foreign officials distorts markets, undermines the rule of law, and can put U.S. companies at a serious economic disadvantage. And in this respect, DOJ still now must consider whether the alleged misconduct deprived specific and identifiable American companies or individuals. So if there's a tender offer and there's a tender competition and the U.S. loses to a foreign competitor because of bribery of foreign officials, that is sort of in the heartland of what DOJ wants to see in terms of investigations and prosecutions. Now, DOJ noted here, and I think it's important because I've always said this, over half the people sitting in jail on FCPA cases are foreigners. And DOJ noted that, quote, the most blatant bribery schemes, close quote, have historically been committed by foreign companies. And it's true. This is an accurate statement and reflects the Trump administration's adherence to economic nationalism. The next factor that was identified was advancing national security, and the guidance memo cites the fact that FCPA enforcement should not penalize American citizens and business for routine business practices in other nations. Now, here I think most prosecutions, at least particularly by the DOJ, have not involved close legal issues surrounding routine business practices. Frankly, they've involved pretty blatant bribery schemes. And prosecutors, though, are warned here to be attentive to the exception for facilitating expediting payments and for the affirmative defense for reasonable and bona fide expenditures that are lawful under the written laws of the foreign country. So reasonable and bona fide expenditures can usually relate to travel, gifts, entertainment, and payments that are lawful under the written laws of the foreign country is another exception to the FCPA rule. In any major prosecution, these don't really come up. So while DOJ is saying make sure these are serious cases, and they're directed here to avoid prosecutions that involve de minimis or low dollar generally accepted business courtesies, I haven't seen much evidence that DOJ is going to look at these types of low dollar generally accepted business courtesies. So this may look good on paper, but in practice, I don't think it's going to have much impact. But the focus of FCPA enforcement should be misconduct that has strong indicia of corporate intent, substantial bribe payments, proven and sophisticated efforts to conceal bribe payments, fraudulent conduct in furtherance of the bribery scheme, and efforts to obstruct justice. And DOJ is going to prioritize these serious cases. Also, they have to take into account whether or not the local jurisdiction is going to prosecute the case. But in any event, much of this, I think, is not going to have as big an impact as the ultimate question, which is how much resources are we going to dedicate to this? Let me give you my thoughts on sort of what's new, what's not in this new FCPA enforcement area. And there's some significant changes, but there's some not so big. And here's my list of what's new and what's the same. Increased individual prosecutions and reduced emphasis on corporate prosecutions. This is nothing new. What I do think, however, is that where liability against a company is directly attributed to the conduct of a small group of individuals, in that case, corporations may have better arguments to try to escape liability. Any sort of collective knowledge doctrine that's used for attributing the intent to the company is not going to be as well regarded. On the other hand, if senior officials are involved, know what's going on, and turn a blind eye, that's where liability will still attach. So there's not much new here with the focus on individual criminal cases because this had been a priority of prior administrations itself. But corporate prosecutions may require a little bit more evidence to get the conduct of senior officers and leaders attributed in there. But what is clear to me from the corporate enforcement policy that this administration adopted is that if you come in, cooperate, and help from the beginning, there's going to be a declination. The only thing you have to pay is the disgorgement. So this will be interesting to see how this plays out. Cases in which individual misconduct, like I said, is directly attributed to the company may be less likely to occur, but we're not sure. Now, DOJ also has prioritized certain industries related to national security, and we'll talk about that in a minute because I think that's a real focus now in terms of where these cases are going to be brought in, what industries they're going to be brought as well. Companies now, I think, have a greater incentive to cooperate where they can reduce liability here and avoid liability by coughing up individuals who need to be prosecuted. So that should happen. With regard to expedited investigations, my hope is that this does lead to some change. I mean, there's no reason for these cases to go on longer than 2 to 3 years at the absolute max, but some of them have been 5 to 6 years. And my hope is that there'll be pressure to move these cases along and get them resolved. There's been a lot of delay, I think, from international coordination, but I think that's going to be interesting to see. Cartels and TCOs, we've talked about that. And I think that that's going to be something that we need to pay more attention to in our supply chains, in our distribution channels to make sure we don't have links and ownership interests connected to cartels and TCOs, especially in certain geographic areas. For example, if you're doing business in Mexico, this is even more important where there are areas with notorious cartel activity. So we need to do a careful analysis of indirect benefits to cartels and TCOs, and your due diligence system has to be adjusted to incorporate this new risk factor. Now, number four, the U.S. company competitive harm. The Justice Department now is looking for situations where U.S. companies have suffered harm in the marketplace as a result of bribery. And I think that may bring in some companies that, let's say, lost out and suspect bribery or may have some evidence or circumstantial evidence to support this allegation. And I think that companies should come in and bring these matters and cooperate with the Justice Department. And also they can come in under whistleblower status and try to get a portion of the recovery if it leads to anything. There was the focus on national security industries, and FCPA enforcement is going to prioritize national security industries such as defense, intelligence, and critical infrastructure. And those sectors, transportation, I would think, is going to be high on that. If you're involved in those industries, this is going to be a focus where national security dovetails with the interest in fighting bribery. And finally, cases involving strong indicia of corporate intent and substantial bribe payments. And the DOJ memo clarifies that they're going to decline to investigate marginal cases. But like I said, this is going to have little to no impact on DOJ. And I don't even know how much of an impact it would have on the SEC, because a lot of their cases are not necessarily marginal, but involve repeated patterns of less substantial bribery than usually is involved in the DOJ cases. So those are my takes on the new policy. It's going to be interesting. Let's monitor this and see where we go from there. But anyways, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week for another episode.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkoff, go to volkovlaw.com.